Good morning and welcome to Faith Springs Baptist Church in a very unique way again this morning, as we're still in the middle of this, social distancing that has caused us not to be able to be at our church building for weeks and weeks. And to be honest with you, I am missing each and every one of you. Just, it's unbelievable. I guess sometimes we take for granted just how much we care and love for each other and how much we miss until something's taken away from us. And then we realize, wow, that part of my life was a big part of my life. Of course, I always knew church was, but just that being in the same room and fellowshipping and telling bad jokes that nobody laughs at and just loving on each other. But welcome. I hope you're all here. I'm going to just kind of just jibber jabber for a few minutes just to make sure everybody is able to get on at the right time. If you are on, I can see a few people on already. Feel free to text me. I just love that. Here they go. Are you on? Yeah, somebody's asking me, are we on? Let me respond to that. Yes. And Don, we are up and running on the TV side too, in the radio side.
Yes, okay. Indeed, we are.
Yep, okay, good. Yep. People are looking and searching. Hit the TV box. Hit live, and then you're good. Okay, the mans are there. Very good. Just keep on letting me know. I was telling Don before we came on that it's very difficult to, once they say 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, you're on, to talk for a solid hour without taking a breath. But so I'm going to just give it a couple minutes. I don't think the message this morning is going to take the entire time, so we may have a little bit of time. Okay, somebody finally got it. Wonderful. Everybody's on. Just keep on letting me know. I love these. Here we go. Well, Luann didn't want to see me this morning. She just wants to listen to me, but that's fine. She's here in radio. Hello, Taylors. Good to see you too, Amber and Carl. Oh, wonderful. So if you're able to see me, one of the things I don't understand is why is not barbers and beauticians part of the essential people that can work? Because look at all this. See all this hair? I could put this in a ponytail if I wanted to, and that probably wouldn't be a good idea. But I've trimmed some of this myself. Oh, boy, they're just coming like crazy now. Yay! Gene Pritchard has video this morning. Hey, Gene, we'll just say hi to you. April and Brett's got her on, and wonderful. Philip Plummer's on, and Candy, and we're just going, here we go, look at all these. It just keeps on coming. That's just wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. And looking good. Hello, April and Doug. I hope things are going well with you. And Doug, I hope you're still happy with her. That's all I I'm teasing you. You know that. I have your picture of your wedding right back here on the piano. I love this picture. This is one of my favorite pictures that I've ever got. And April and Doug gave me this, and this is from their wedding. I don't know how long ago now, but that's been a while back. I'm seeing the glare, but there it is. And I love that, and I keep that on my piano. I see that every day, many times a day, so thank you for that. People are still texting in. Jack Manley's got me on his TV. Good. Oh, Senior and Jane are on. And Tom and Mary, Deb and Ella are all on this morning. The O'Days are all on, and their whole crew, and just keep it on going. I'm not for sure I have the freedom to say too much about this, but I want to go back and Robert Holman just texted me earlier before the church and just said that he had somebody that he was a close friend of that passed away and want to keep them in prayer. So I want to honor that. I don't want to share too much about it, but I don't know much about it. But I just remember Robert Holman's friend that has passed away and their family. And I can't imagine going through something like that, but then going through something like that in this kind of situation with what's going on in the country. That would be kind of, it's one of the side bars of this whole epidemic and pandemic that people don't realize it causes more pain than what the pain is sometimes. So just be praying for them. Oh, this is just wonderful. Okay. I'm going to put this on mute because I'll end up wanting to pick this up all the time. But if we decide to get you involved, I'll put this back on and where I can listen and respond to you. Appreciate you being here. Good news, bad news type of things with what the governor said the other day, that it looked like the state of Texas is getting ready to open up, but it's going to be a slow process. Pretty well same thing that President Trump said the other day. We have not peaked in Houston with the numbers. I can see what's going on in the hospital world and the numbers around us. It's not peaked yet. Matter of fact, it seemed like last week things got even more pointed towards activity and more activity within this kind of pandemic. That's something that the country's never seen before like this, to this magnitude. So it looks like it's going to be a few more weeks. I'm hoping that when I said we're probably going to take the month of April and do it like this, that we kind of stay in that mode. I was hoping to get back Easter. I think President Trump was too, but that just was not possible. We're looking at probably, maybe if we fall into the counties that we're in, that we fall into a good enough road to come back the first week of May or the middle of May. I just hope we don't have to wait all the way to the 1st of June. But we're doing what we can. I do want to let you know that things are maintaining. You know, we still have bills coming in, and we still have construction going on. We still have a school that is paying salaries and not having school. So there's a lot of different pieces of this puzzle that is causing this hair that when I first came was pretty dark. I'm going to go out bald or totally white hair. We have a Bob Barker hairdo soon. I'll just pure white. But there's a lot of different pieces of the puzzle that has to play. And I just don't like doing this, but I want to continue to ask you for your support and your prayers, your love, your understanding, your patience. I've kind of let Jack, although I keep an eye on it, he is meticulously, and the Finance and Budget Committee are doing what they can to do what they can with what we have to do what we can. But I do want to let you know that the construction is still going. Matter of fact, I got an email, I believe, late Friday night or after business hours on Friday, asking for more money, and that they were getting ready to try to finish up. I don't think that finish up means the next week or two. I walked the building this week, so I know that's not the case. But we are on the last lap, and when that comes into play, there's going to be a lot of other expenses that come into play too. Speaking of parking lots, the landscaping that the city is going to require us to do, sidewalks that's going to have to go all the way down our property out by the road that's mandated to be poured in, a lot of other stuff that just hasn't been put into this yet. But we just want to let you know a lot of things happening. It's exciting, but it's stressful, but it's also hopeful. And we're going to kind of look at that when we get into the message too this morning, that even though we know there's hope, sometimes it's easy to slip into a mode of hopelessness. And I want to let you know, there is nothing that is even close to being hopeless in the situation that we were in. Matter of fact, I believe we're going to come through this on the other side, as surely as I'm sitting here live on a Sunday morning. with you on this telecast that we have all the hope in the world. It's all in Jesus Christ. It's all in His mercy and grace and His power. And we're going to get through this. And I really believe on the other side, we're going to be stronger. We're going to be closer. We're going to be more faithful. We're going to be more unified. We're going to be larger in numbers. And I think this has built a foundation for us to be able to build one wonderful and awesome church on top of a great heritage that Park Place Baptist Church and Faith Springs Baptist together have done and built over 101 years. And we are going to celebrate that 100th birthday. It may be later on, but we're actually going to do that. But hang with me. Be with me. And I appreciate your love, your support. And please don't stop helping us whenever you can. And that includes your prayers, your support, your thoughts, your encouragement, your finances, everything that is involved in that, and your ministry. And with that ministry in mind, we do need a few more people on the faith ministry that we've come up with the ones that helps people with their needs, the ones that make the calls. So if you want to, we need a few more people on the calling team. And if you would like to be part of that calling team, or if you haven't been contacted and maybe you already volunteered and nobody has contacted you yet, we may have lost your name or slipped through our fingers. But if you want to be on one of those calling teams to help out, just calling people once a week, not a lot of people, but just to reach out and touch people via the phone, let me know, and you can feel free to text me that right now, and I'll go through all the texts. I would love to hear from you, and if we had four or five more, it'd be great, but we need at least two or three more to make that team complete, so everybody doesn't have an overload. It's just the right amount that people can kind of keep track of and just keep up on it and let that become your ministry of reaching out and loving our own family. So appreciate that. I'm trying not to get into too many announcements, but grab your coffee, grab your soda or whatever. And, you know, this is just a what? Well, there's a good, you can't use your hands. You can't use your hands while you're drinking coffee. Oh, my land. Okay, well, I'll put that down there. I love this live world. Okay, well, I'm going to have to get rid of that. I'll have to put my soda over here now. So I'm good to go. Oh, my. That was different. I've never done that before. Throwing out coffee. Okay. Well, good morning. We just want to make sure you have your Bibles handy with you. We want to let you know we love you. And, you know, I remember it was maybe last year, but get your Bibles. Go ahead and grab your Bibles in your notepad because we're getting ready to start. But I've never done that before in my life. I have to clean that up later. It was, I believe, Vivian Huey's last birthday party that I was invited to. And I can't remember times right now. Everything kind of runs together. But I remember it was at Boudreaux's, which is a little Cajun restaurant over on Southgate, I believe. And I can't remember if it was at 11, noon, or 1, one of those three times. And everybody was going there for the meal, for a lunch. And I remember driving because me being as goofy as I am with OCD and not wanting to ever be late for anything, I was an hour and a half early. So I drove by Boudreaux's, and not to stop in, but I just kind of drove by, made sure that was the one that it was going to be at. And then I went on to right down that lane. There's an HEB and a Randall's and a Marshall's and all that. So I went into Randall's and Marshall's and was watching my clock and just shopped and shopped and shopped for an hour, hour and a half. And then I just slowly got in the car, drove around a little bit, and then pulled into Boudreaux's. And as I walked in, 5 minutes early, there was Vivian and her family, and I hugged her and gave her the birthday card and just said, "Hey, this is great. When's everybody coming?" And as I noticed, as I sat down, all the plates around the table were dirty. And they had obviously already eaten. And I said, what time did this start? And they said, we're just finishing up. It started at noon or 11 or whatever. And I was like an hour, hour and a half late when I thought I was absolutely early and on time. And they were probably more thankful for that than what they made out to be, that I was late, because nobody wants a preacher at the parties. But they said they understood, and I stayed for a little while and didn't eat because it was all gone and didn't order. But just let Vivian know we love her and wish her happy birthday, and I left. Have you ever been late to a party like that? And I think as we look at the scripture that we're going to be talking about this morning, that's what happens on the day after Easter, the evening of Easter, the day after Easter, 2 days after Easter, 3 days. And as we get into scripture, I want to kind of throw out some ideas. And I got all of this stuff, and this is like 15 pages, and this is 12. And I've decided this morning, early this morning, that I'm going to try to combine them two together. And you're going to say, oh, no, two sermons. No, we're going to try to just nip this, put it together. But it just seems like nothing was connecting. And when I put it together, it's like, wow, that makes a full picture. But if I was to mention certain names of disciples, and you were to think or just blurt out the first word that comes to your mind, okay? If we was a church, I would let you allow you to just shout it out like you always shout out me anyway. But if I was to mention a disciple's name and you give me the first thought that comes to your mind, what would those thoughts be? Judas. Automatically, you would think betrayal, the betrayer, betray, kiss on the cheek, scoundrel, whatever. But you would have probably betray would be that common word the majority of us, maybe not everybody, but majority of us would think of. If I was to say Simon Peter, some of you would say a man of faith. The church was built on him, the one that denied. But I think probably something to do with faith. He walked on the water and, you know, all that thing. But not everybody. It would be a 60-40, 75-25. And then if I was supposed to throw out James and John, the disciples, most of you, not all of you, some of you would say sons of thunder. That's how they were referred to, but not everybody. But then if I would have mentioned one, Thomas, almost everybody would say doubting. And he is labeled that label because of one thing that he did or didn't do that labeled him, whether it's a right or wrong label, the majority of us would put him into that camp, okay? And hang with me, because I'm going to eventually bring this to where we can apply it to our lives. So if you're listening and you're visiting with us this morning, you go, well, this doesn't mean, I don't want a history lesson. I want something that I can use. It's coming to that. I promise you that. So hang with me. Three Gospels in Scripture, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, mention his name and that's it. There's nothing else about Thomas at all. John brings him in, and that's a clue into the Gospel of John. But John brings him in, and he tells a little bit about him. Brings him in as a character, but believe it or not, there's only 155 words about Thomas in the Bible. 155 words. But in those words, you already have a label for him from the one story that we hear the most of, no matter what he's done from the beginning of his life to the end of his life, you automatically go, oh, he's the doubter. Now, I don't know about you, but people look at me that way too. People may look at you for one thing that you have done in your life, whether it's right or wrong, and they label you that. And I'm not for sure this label was the right one for Thomas because of what the other 100 and some words say about him and a couple of statements that he made. And I think it's just the way we perceive it sometimes when we read scripture and never really dig any deeper. We just take it off the top, skim it up, and apply it. Oh, yeah, he's a doubting Thomas. Let's just keep moving on to the next story. You know, Thomas was the one that when Jesus, close to his crucifixion time, looked towards Jerusalem and said, guys, we're all, it's getting ready to happen. Death is coming. Thomas was the one when all the other disciples said, whoa, I don't think so. In John 11:16, Thomas said, then let us go so that we can die with you, Jesus. Let me be one of those that die with you. I don't know about you, but we don't remember that one. We never put that on a bumper sticker of our car. We never, Thomas, yeah, he's the one that would die, that said that he claimed that he would die for Jesus. No, we throw another D in there. He's the doubter. I just wonder if that's fair or right, okay? So hang with me. We don't remember him for that. We also fail to remember that this one point in all of the Bible, he makes the most courageous statement ever in the Bible. And it's one of the maybe only time that unequivocally he declares that Jesus is God. No one else did this. No other disciple declared that. He did. And he does it in the scripture that we're going to mention this morning. When he says, my Lord and my God. Not teacher, not rabbi, my God. That's the only place where Jesus is called God. By a disciple. So Thomas, he's not the doubter. Thomas is the one that is a man of faith, a man of courage. But he was just late to the party. He was just late showing up. Now, why, we don't know, because there's no scripture on that. A lot of people, a lot of theologians, a lot of commentaries say that Thomas was out after Jesus was crucified and buried, that Thomas went out and he became not only the pouter or the doubter, but he became the pouter. He pouted. He was depressed. He was upset. He was grief-filled. He didn't know. He was confused. But it doesn't tell us that. So those are just things that we're adding to scripture that probably we wouldn't want to, you know, stand too hard on those things because they may crumble when we find out in heaven, hey, wait, we missed that one. I don't want to do that. Let's just go with what the scripture says. But when Thomas declared, my Lord and my God, it was his aha moment that simply meant finally, after what he had seen, 2 + 2 = 4 to him. And it was fact at that point. It became fact. I've seen it. I've heard it. I've lived it. Now I believe it. It is fact. Now, in your world right now, I've got something with a lid on it. So I can do this all I want without spilling. In your world, it may be chaotic right now. I tell you, I have people at the office that I supervise that, you know, we're hanging tough. We're trying not to downsize, trying not to furlough people, trying not to lay off people. But I guarantee you, as the Cajun said, I guarantee you that there's people listening that have already got the layoff papers. And they're going, I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to deal with this. I feel like hopelessness is creeping in. I want to let you know, in the middle of this, even though you may be late to the party like Thomas, when you see the facts, 2 + 2 will equal 4 to you, and Lord Jesus is not only the Lord, but he is God, and he's your Savior, and you still need to drop the anchor in him, because if you don't, what's the alternatives of dropping the anchor in? You want to drop the anchor in your job, in the stock market? Are you kidding? My heart's doing this. Almost every day when I look at the stock markets going up and down, I go, woo, dogs, and then it goes down. I have a lot of stuff in oil and think because of my inheritance, and I'm looking at oil and go, whoa, oil's down to, hey, wait, you got gas that you can get for $1.30 now, $1.40. But that means the oil prices that I have investments in aren't as great as what they – so I'm not going to put hope in that. What today can we put hope into that never fades away? Okay, now let me tell you, let me just let you read this story. It's in John chapter 20. John chapter 20. I'm looking at, oh my lands. We have lots of people on today. And you know, it's funny. That probably last Sunday was the full house. This Sunday, if we were in a church building, the pews would have been, or the chairs would have been a little less full because party's over. The celebration of Easter is over. Where did we come up with that? That's why when Esther emailed me this week and said, hey, are we still having the Easter egg hunt? Are we still having Easter at church? Absolutely. Where does it say that Easter has to be celebrated on one certain day of the year? Our Easter ought to be celebrated every day of the year. That's what we get up for. We ought to literally get up, go out on the balcony and scream, he's alive every day. But we just kind of focus on that. But I want to make sure we don't do that this year. Let's allow this to let Easter be celebrated maybe the middle of May, the 1st of June. Why couldn't we incorporate Easter with the 4th of July somehow and go, we're celebrating our independence, our freedom in this country, but also our freedom through Jesus Christ that we're not bound to sin anymore. We don't have to be in a box in our Christianity. We can absolutely get out of that box and celebrate it and let the kids come and pick up Easter eggs and candy. And besides that, I'm out of Kit Kats and I wouldn't mind having a few. Are you kidding? That's what it's all about. We can celebrate all the time. Don't let, oh no, we missed Easter at our church. Are you kidding? No, we haven't. We're going to have it. We're still going to celebrate. Nobody in this world can tell us that we only have to celebrate one day a year. And wouldn't it be neat to celebrate Easter one Sunday and Christmas the next? Why not? Well, we have hope. So don't get so wrapped up and putting your anchor into things that are going to be moving, that are fluid. And that's why maybe we experienced the last 2 or 3 years of a building that we kept trying to put dates on to be open, and we couldn't get it open, and we still don't have it open, even though we're closer today than we've ever been in the history of that church being built, that building being built. I'm learning a lesson, are you? That it's not in that. It's in Him. Every time we try to set something, something comes in and pulls it out. Every time we try to say, hey, we got that bill covered, and this is probably dealing with you guys too, but we deal with this as a church. Hey, we got that nice offering that'll cover that bill, and then all of a sudden another more important bill, more devastating bill will come in and go, oh, there goes that. So we can't depend on anything in this world except Him, Jesus Christ. Now, that was a dandy intro, and I'm halfway through with my time. John chapter, look at this Bible. It is absolutely falling apart, but it's my favorite one. I'm just losing pages. I just love this Bible. But we're in John chapter 20. Verse 19. Find that? And if we were in the same room, I'd say, if you're all there, say, oh, yeah. John chapter 20, 19 goes like this. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, the same day, that's Easter. Look at verse 18, just so we get the scope of what's going on. Verse 18, Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples she'd seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. Later on that night, Easter night, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled, they were locked away in a room with the door shut, barred, in fear of their life. Now look who they're afraid of. They're not in fear of their life for the Romans that drove the nails in his hands, for Pilate that sent him off to be flogged and crucified. It says right here, it's in my Bible, I hope it's in yours, unless mine's wrong. I didn't get this at a discount house, so it's the word of God. For the fear of the Jews. Wow, that's a sermon within itself. Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, imagine this, the door's locked, the windows are all locked, everything is barred, the alarm system is on, and all of a sudden, Jesus is standing there. Walked through the walls and just standing there amongst the disciples. You got to remember, Thomas wasn't in this group. Thomas wasn't there. Thomas was off doing whatever we don't know about, but he was off. We can find out about this in heaven. We can say, hey, Jesus, can you pull that DVD and let us watch that one and see where Thomas was, what Thomas was doing? We don't know, but we know he wasn't there. Okay? Jesus automatically appears to them and says this, peace be with you. You're home alone, maybe right now. I'm alone. Nobody here. I have Eeyore is sitting on my little end table over here. I have a little stuffed animal, Eeyore. He sits there and keeps me company. And yeah, me and Eeyore have discussions every now and then, but I'm alone. But I'm not alone. Because Jesus says right there, when he walks in the middle of that, even though they try to keep everybody out, he says, peace be with you. And listen to how many times he says this. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. I don't think we catch this. Read what that just said. He showed them his hands. He showed them his side. He said, it's me. I'm here. Then they were glad So they went through this whole experience without Thomas being there because he was late. He was out doing his own thing, doing something else. They went through, but nobody says, doubting this person, doubting James, doubting Peter, doubting Matthew. Nobody says that. But it says right here, he already showed them. They already had went through the litmus test. Yes, you are the risen Lord. And at that point, they were glad when they saw the Lord. Verse 21. So the Lord said to them again, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I now send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them. And he said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. They got not only peace, but they got his presence. But they not only got his peace and his presence, lean in, they got his power. The Holy Spirit was brought into that room. He said, here you go, guys. This is the power that's going to energize you for me to send you out to change this world, to tell people all about me. Now, some of you need to hear that. Some of you need that hope. Do not get into a situation where you're locked in a house by yourself and people are breaking things by and dropping on your doorstep and knocking and running away. And you're starting to feel, oh, I'm alone. No, let Jesus walk through that door, that wall, that window that you think is locked and go, peace. All those folks that are home alone right now, homebound, peace. I'm with you. I'm with you. All those people that if you're craving to be in the same room and to worship in the same building and to have church again, let me encourage you this morning. Peace. Here's the power. Experience his presence. And he says that peace twice so far. Verse 23. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. Now this is important. Verse 24. Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, wasn't with them. AOL, when Jesus came. The other disciples, therefore, told Thomas at some other time, hey, we've seen the Lord. So he said to them, unless I see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of his side, I put my hand into his side, I will not believe. You got to remember, Peter and John had already been to the tomb and it was empty. They had already been witnesses to the crime scene per se, if it was a crime scene, or at least the scene of where Jesus' body was laid. And the rumor was, according through Mary, they came back that morning and said, I seen Jesus. He's alive. That grave's empty. They went and looked at the grave, and they still had the opportunity to see Jesus in his full form of the nail marks in his hand and his feet and the hole in his side. And they got to see all of that. So they got a double whammy there. They saw the empty grave. Thomas is just hearing and reading the Houston Chronicle. This is what we're hearing. This is what the reports are. This is what the headline of the news is. But he has yet to see the risen Lord like they have. That's the first visit in this story. Now the second one, and then we're going to relay it to you. Then we'll be done because I'm almost done. Isn't it amazing how much I talk? Okay. We're doing good. Nobody tell me it's amazing how much I talk because I know that's not right. Verse 26. This is the following week. And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside this room. This time, Thomas is with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, stood in their midst and said, "Peace to you." Then he looked at Thomas. "Thomas, put your finger here. Look at my hand. Put your finger there." Jesus wasn't there in the room when Thomas said, "I'll believe when I see it." He already, what I love about this, he already meets the need of what Thomas needs at that point to keep his faith grounded. The same guy that Jesus heard him say, "Jesus, if you're going to die, let us all go die with you." He heard the words. He knows the heart. Right now, church, friends, everybody that's listening, he knows and feels your pain. He knows and feels what may be creeping into hopelessness with you. Don't let that overtake you because Jesus is listening. He's hearing. He can feel it. He knows the hurt. He knows the doubt. He knows the loneliness. He knows the pain. He knows what it's like to not be able to be in that building for weeks. He knows that it may start snowballing into depression, into anxiety, into some other stuff. And he's here to tell you this morning, "I am here. I love you. I will provide what you need to get that courage and faith again. Peace. Have hope. Hope is still alive." Because the grave's still empty. Easter is today. That's what it's all about. And let's keep going. I love these stories because not just to read it, but to apply it. It's not doubting Thomas. He's just getting caught up. He's just getting caught up with what everybody else saw, heard, witnessed, and probably put their finger in. Wow. "Reach your finger here," verse 27. Jesus said to Thomas, "Reach your finger here and look at my hands. And reach your hand here and put it into my side." Whew. That must have been one dandy slice. "Do not be unbelieving, but believing." He is confirming what he heard Thomas say. Same way on which he wanted to have a discussion with Peter to confirm to Peter, "I heard you deny me, but I want to let you know I'm here. I'm your friend, and I forgive you, and I give you grace." Does it get any better than that? So, what does the Lord have to say to you this morning? If he was to answer your doubt, your fear, your worry, your anxiety, what would he need to do? It's okay to question. It's okay to go, "I don't understand. I don't understand why I had a nice job and now it's gone. I don't understand why I had all this security and now it's gone. I don't understand why I had this great relationship and now he's gone or she's gone or my child's gone." God understands those. And he wants to let you know, I'm here. I'm in your midst. I'm available. Just look to me for the answers. And through the middle of all of this, peace, peace, peace. Okay? Keep going. Because I love this part. This is where it really turns good. Verse 28. After Jesus said that, Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. There it is. If you're unbelieving this morning, right there is something worth believing in. When I see it, when I feel it, when I know it, I'm not going to deny it. How many times do we exclaim and get close to God, and then things start going good, and then we drift away? And then something bad has to happen to pull us back in like a prodigal son and go, oh, yeah, Lord, you're there. Thank you. And he comes running, and you go running and embracing. That's grace, mercy, forgiveness. Grace, mercy, forgiveness. Grace, mercy, forgiveness, restoration. And it goes like this all the way. We see that all the way through the Old Testament. Israel, good night. The whole nation of Israel, grace, mercy, freedom, all the way through. He does that with us too. It's like that. He wants to provide that for you. But just believe. And when he saw it, when he believed, he said, you're not only the Lord, you are my God. And Jesus said to him, although I think Jesus was declaring it to the world, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. At that point, somehow, we decide, oh, he's putting them in categories. The disciples all believed, and then Thomas didn't. No. Yeah, remember, the week before, Jesus appeared to all of them too. He's saying that for our benefit because he knows this is going to be in his word and we're going to need those words today. And as surely as I'm sitting here, I want to let you know to believe in him. That's where it's at. That's where the hope is at. That's where the strength is at. That's where the endurance is at. To keep on keeping on. When you don't know what else to do, dig your heels in and put your faith in him because that's where it is at. Don't get discouraged. You hang in there. Don't give up. You hang in there. And when faith is debatable, you hang in there and keep that faith in him. You need to start understanding a couple things. You need to start understanding what triggers you into sometimes despair and loneliness. Whatever it is, determine in your mind that I'm going to learn something different to offset where that mind goes. Do something different to get you out of that. If you're becoming that house is starting to get like this on you, and it's starting to get closer and closer and closer. And it's starting to wear on you mentally. I just encourage you to rechange something. Refocus on something. Go take a walk outside. Open up the blinds. I got every blind open. And these windows go all the way around this room. All the way around. And the windows are, if I close those blinds, it would become dark to me. I want to see those lights blare in the middle of the night. I need light. But if I start allowing the blinds to lower on me, I'm going to end up becoming full of despair and anxiety. Even though you're tired of playing Uno with your mom day after day after day, kids, you're tired of playing those games, hang in there. I want to let you know there's hope. We're going to be back. Everything's going to be back. The Lord hasn't left us. But while we are here in this mode, may we learn something. May we understand what the triggers are that gets inside of our head and tries to keep us away from the good things. May we understand what those emotional triggers are. Proverbs 4:23 says this, above all else. Above all else. That's a pretty powerful three little words. Guard your heart. Because it affects everything that you do. Reach out. Love. Call somebody. Write a note. Do something. But guard your heart. And then ask for help. Psalms 50:15. Call to me when trouble comes, and I will save you. Call to me. Then refocus your attention on something else better. I've said this 20 times, and we're almost done, so I better put my Bible down, because I won't, once I put my Bible down, I won't never finish. We've said before that if you're sitting there watching CNN every day, may God cut your cable off and you never watch it again. It's not going to be good for you. It's lies on top of lies. It's negativity on top of negativity. And I'm not trying to advocate Fox News or MSNBC or NBC News or ABC or anything. I'm just using it as an example. You can't watch that junk all day long without the junk affecting your mindset. Oh, we're going to be in the worst depression we've ever experienced in our country. God's in control. He knows what he's doing. It's all okay. So refocus your attention. Romans 12:21, don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil with good. And then 2 Corinthians 10:5, we capture every thought. Start to capture those thoughts. Wait, that's a negative thought. What am I going to do with that? I'm going to keep cramming that in on the side of the negativity in my mind, or I'm going to put it away. And allow those thoughts to be motivated by Christ and put them through his filter. And we talk about that coffee filter all the time. Let the good stuff come through. Let the grounds and the junk be thrown away and cast away. We get this way with people. All of a sudden, somebody will come up and sneak up to you and say, hey, did you hear about Clarence? You know, I heard Clarence does this. I heard he really is mean to his wife. And then all of a sudden, you start looking at Clarence differently. And then start all those things that you liked about Clarence, you kind of stray away from him. And it affects and becomes a wall. And come to find out, that was just somebody that had heard something tenfold gossip, and it wasn't even true about him, but it already affected your mindset and your heart towards him. Capture those thoughts when they come up and go, wait. I reject that in the name of the Lord. And throw it out with the trash. Get rid of it. Thomas isn't the doubter. Thomas was just late to the party. Thomas was just late getting to hear and see the risen Lord. But Thomas was the one, the only one in the Gospels that declares, my Lord and my God. There it is. So, how do you apply this to your world? Doubting's okay. Questioning's okay. But hang in there. Question it to God. Don't question it to other people. Capture those thoughts. Kids, I know school, it was just declared school's not coming back. We're going to have to do the rest of it all online for you homeschool kids. You're going to do what you've been doing anyway all these years. God bless you for that. But you're not going to have graduation like normal. Everything's going to be kind of different. But don't be down on that. Use this as a tool that strengthens you in the individual that you are. Things are going to come back to somewhat normalcy. But let's be honest. Our normalcy sometimes wasn't that good for us. So maybe pull out the good stuff and let that be our normal. When we leave back the negative stuff in the old world when we come through it and let that be gone. Because now we appreciate every time we get to unlock the doors of that church and say, welcome. May you never stay home again because you're just sleepy in bed. Because I want to let you know, I don't want it to be taken away from us again. Have an appreciation built up inside of us to where I'm saying, every time I will not keep myself from meeting and being in the house of God. Every time those doors are open, I'm going to be there when at all possible. That's what it's all about. Hang tough. Keep your faith in God and keep that hope alive. A couple more scriptures, and I got about 2 minutes to do it. Hebrews 6:19. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. Look that up in your own Bible. That's a little homework. Hebrews 6:19, because there's a lot more stuff in there. Romans 15:4. Everything that was written in the past, scripture, was written to teach us so that through endurance and the encouragements of the scriptures, we might have hope. There it is. It's written there so that you can have hope. That's why we have a Bible. That's why that story in John 20 is in there. That's why we get to see the disciples meeting Jesus through the walls and then Thomas having a one-on-one with him. So you can have hope. That no matter what category you're in, whether you got saved when you're 6 years old or you got saved when you're 90, no matter what you are in between of those, these words, this scripture will deal with you where you are at. No matter when you're coming into the party. But just get to the party. Just get to the good stuff. Just get to the relationship with Jesus. Because that's what it's all about. And one last scripture that I'm going to close, I promise. 1 Timothy 4:10. We have put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all men. And especially for those who believe. There's the hope. There it is. May you continue to drop your anchor in Him. May you continue to grow in Him. And please don't give up. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, text me, email me, let's talk. Call me, I'll give you my number. Whatever it is, I want to talk to you. I want to lead you to the Lord. And then I want to send you some things. So please do that. Thank you for being with us this morning. I just love this time together. And I've talked about an hour straight, believe it or not, I even threw coffee all the way across the room. What a day. But I tell you what, it was good to be in the house of the Lord with our family. Thank you. God bless you. Please be with us tonight at 8 o'clock on Breaking the Silence radio show. We have an awesome show. Roy Horace Jr. is going to be on there, and he wrote a beautiful book called Homeless by Choice. You will not want to miss that. We'd love to have you there with us. Now, I know Don just told me, Greg, we don't have a time limit, but I do. I don't want to keep you all and then put you to sleep like I do on Sunday mornings, but I may have already done that. But I do want to let you know that God's wisdom, God's strength, God's courage, God's mercy, having the faith in Him is what it's all about. We miss you. We love you. Be with us. If you want to be part of that calling team, please let me know. Keep supporting, keep praying, keep reaching out, keep touching. Do not pull down the shades of your spiritual windows. Keep them up. Let the sun shine in and Jesus in. and allow his words that he said every time he walked through those walls, peace be with you here. It's not going to be peaceful out there. It's still going to be the mask. It's still going to be people staying away from you. It's still going to be people looking at you when you get too close to them. It's still going to be people taking your temperature before you can walk into some certain buildings. It's still going to be confusing out there. And the media is still going to be messing with you and telling you how bad it really is. But in your spirit, inside your heart, inside your home where you're at right now, Jesus says, peace be with you. You have hope. Love being with you today. And can't wait till next week. If you need anything, let us know. Reach out. And if I can, I'd just like to close with a word of prayer. So everybody just kind of lean in and close your eyes. And let's just take this all in. Dear Lord, we come to you and I thank you for who you are. I thank you for your love. I thank you for your understanding with each person in your scripture. And then, Lord, you had the wisdom and the heart enough to allow what we call a doubter to be put in there so we can maybe relate to it. I need to see the scars. I need a little more evidence. Lord, there's people out there that's tried to intelligently write you off today. There's people out there that don't believe in God. But they can't answer how we're walking around breathing oxygen. They try to figure it out scientifically and it falls flat on its face every time. Lord, work in those people by saying, peace with you. I'm here. And I died for you too. Lord, be with all the people that are stressed out because the kids are literally driving them nuts. Give them extra dose of endurance, extra dose of patience, an extra bucket of faith to keep on keeping on. Lord, be with the kids. Give them an understanding that they may not understand. Give them a peace that they need in their own life and their hearts. To try to be as happy as they can in the situation. And try to be loving as much as they can to mom and dad, even when things are stressful and that house gets really small. And Lord, be with all those people that are alone, day in, day out, morning, noon, and night. Let them know that they are never alone. You're with them. We love them. We care for them. And they're never alone. Lord, thank you for hope. And that anchor of hope has to be dropped in you because nothing else gives us that kind of hope. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you all for joining us today. I'd love to hear back from you, text, email, whatever. Just let me know what you think about it. If you have a need, have a concern, have a thought, a prayer request, keep on reaching out. We'll get some people to help you out as much as we can. Stay safe. Wear the mask when you get out. That's important right now, folks. Don't stop wearing that mask. Don't just say, I'll leave it up to other people. Some places are requiring you to have it on now, or they won't even let you in. So you need those masks, some kind of cotton or fabric over your face. Just take care of yourself. Be wise in the middle of all this. And we're going to get through this stronger and better than ever before. It was a blessing to be in your home today. Thank you for inviting us in. And we'll see you right here next Sunday morning for another service of Faith Springs Baptist Live. God bless you. Have a good day. And don't forget, there's always hope. God bless.